plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under streams, but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what you're worth, make 'em go oh, 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 as you shoot across the sky.
What do you mean? That's like, I specifically recall saying this is one of the few Katy Perry songs that you did enjoy.
That's why I hate it. Because every time the strings kick in right before the hook, I get goosebumps. And
so
they're inappropriate. Okay? They're inappropriate goosebumps. I should not like this song as much as I do. It's wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the Cleveland Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed.
And we are back. We've got all kinds of emails to discuss. We've got the Glee Tour to talk about. Some listeners have been going to the Glee Tour. And we'll take a check-in on the Glee Project, which premiered this week. And Jennifer and I watched, and many of you did as well. And, you know, they had a special guest, which if you didn't watch it, you're going to want to, just for the special guest.
Yes. I already know who that is.
Oh, who is it?
Darren? Wasn't Darren on it? Darren Criss?
Darren Criss was on it, yes. So he was there.
I've seen stills from the episode.
He had his glasses on. He was charming, as I'm sure you could assume.
I talk about kind of hit Josh. That's relevant. Not as relevant.
Not even a little.
Music.
So, but we've got some other random things to talk about, and we will do that as well. I wanted to throw a shout out to listener Wes, who has a blog. He's writing fan fiction where he combines the characters of Glee with the killer from Scream. And as my wife will tell you, my favorite things on the planet Earth are Glee and Scream. Scream being the movie that actually made me start writing start screenwriting in the first place. So you can check that out. I'll put a link on our website. It's at screamingglee.weebly.com, and you can enjoy that if you like, but I found it hilariously entertaining.
Are there already blog posts on there?
There are 5 chapters.
Ooh,
okay. Yes.
I'm behind.
There's songs, they perform, and there's murders. Murders to come. So, you know, what couldn't go wrong in that?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, check that out. We have lots of amazing listeners. We actually have a certain number of them attending the live chat, joining us right now. I was trying to find out how many. I think we have 30 on the live chat right now. So that's pretty cool.
No way. We have 16, I think.
Oh, 16. There we go. We have 16.
No
so,
way.
So, yes. Yay. Welcome in. Good catch. And I didn't know what I was going to say next. So we'll just move on to something interesting.
You're talking about Scream and listeners' emails?
Oh, yes. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we say tonight, you can do so by emailing us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. This is why you get married, kids, because you only have to think half the time. And then someone else who's much smarter than you will
remember
the details. So you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the website at gleefulpodcast.com. There's also twitter.com/gleefulpodcast if you want to check in there. And go to the website, buy the t-shirt, because really,
they're cute.
If you love the show, it would help us a lot. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I haven't taken a picture with it. Take a picture with it, it's going to be like, oh, sales out the roof.
That's true.
That's what we
actually
will do.
Actually, yeah.
If we get one purchase this week, we will all take pictures of ourselves in the t-shirts.
We promised to do this anyhow. I just keep forgetting.
Okay, this week we're going to put up pictures
you know
of us in the t-shirts. Yes, and you know, some random things in the Gleeverse this week. Neil Patrick Harris mentioned Glee in his opening of the Tonys this week.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Which was pretty hilarious. Ed, did you see Neil Patrick Harris open the Tonys?
Sorry.
No, honestly, even if you're not a musical theater person, if you just watch the opening number, it's hysterical.
Well, here, we'll take a quick listen to it. Here, this is Neil Patrick Harris opening the Tonys.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm teen heartthrob Neil Patrick Harris. It's an honor to be back hosting the 65th annual Tony Awards, and I'd like to deliver a very important message on behalf of all of us who care so deeply about this community. If you've seen a show, then you already know how magical theater can be. It's a two-hour live-action, barely affordable, unlip-synced version of Glee. So this song goes out to the rest of you, those who've never seen theater before. Because Broadway has never been broader. It's not just for gays anymore.
So Neil Patrick Harris went on to perform a very large number that you can see, of course, on YouTube.
Yeah,
as well as everything else that's ever happened in humanity is actually present on YouTube. So check that out. But it was a lot of fun. It was a good show. And I didn't see all of it. I just said that and the number with Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
But I'm sure there were other numbers too.
Yes.
Other exciting numbers as well.
He's really great on stage.
So we got an email from listener Aaron, and Aaron went back and watched the season finale of season two, and where they went through the list of the other Glee clubs that made the top 10, where New Directions was not on the list. And he actually sent us a write-up of what those other Glee clubs were called. So, of course, we had Vocal Adrenaline was mm-hmm. on that list. And they scrolled this pretty quick, so good on Aaron for coming up with this one. Vocal Adrenaline, the Portland Scale Blazers.
Wow.
The Waffle Toots. Now, that's a pretty obscure reference. Do you get this reference, Ed?
Of course not.
Jennifer, do you get this reference?
No.
The Waffle Toots? I think it's supposed to be the Wiffle Puffs. The oldest collegiate a cappella choir in the country.
Huh? Yeah.
They were on last season of Sing Off. Singers with Attitude.
Nice.
Jefferson City Airplane, which is genius. 12 Steps, Vocal Chords with a Z. Sound Splosion, Teenage Scream, and Vocal Extreme.
Nice.
And which, of course, I would put to you guys. You don't have to answer right now, but think about what would your Glee club be called if you were in high school.
Okay.
So when you can think of one, feel free to throw that out there. But wanted to thank listener Aaron for coming up with that. There's also kind of some things going on in the Gleeverse right now. Darren Criss and Kevin McHale are in the new Katy Perry music video for Last Friday Night TGIF.
Is that the one where, like, Rebecca Black is in it and everybody else? There's, like, tons of people.
I chose not to watch it.
Okay.
So I'm going to say I don't know. But I know that they're in there, and it's been the chat all over the internet. Ed, have you seen the new Katy Perry video?
I have not, but between TGIF, Last Friday Night, and Edge of Glory, there is way too much saxophone on the radio now. I'm like, okay, we get it.
Oh, wow. I never noticed that.
Well, yeah.
Now it's all going to be all what I hear.
Well, Clarence Clemens, who, you know, best wishes go out to him. He's sick right now, but he plays on the new Lady Gaga record. And so, yes, the 80s saxophone is in full effect in popular music right now.
Wow.
Let's take a look at a couple of our listeners have made to the Glee concert tour, which we have not. And I'm really starting to regret this one. Listener Greg, he said that he went to the Philly show, and he said he had an awesome time, definitely worth every penny, and definitely plan to go again if they do a season 3 tour. It was so great to see all my favorite characters from screen in person. I was blown away by all of the costumes from the show and choreography. It's next to impossible to choose a favorite performance, as they were all stellar, but I'm going to have to go with Slave for You, simply because I'm in love with Britney Spears, and Britney is my favorite character on the show, and probably because she was wearing that flesh-colored bodysuit, I'm just going to suggest. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm just saying.
It's probably a good assumption.
Greg goes on to say, as far as interactions with the cast and performers, the closest I came to any of them was flirting with one of the male Cheerios for a barf bag. So apparently they did barf bags again.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun. And then listener Aaron, I'm going to go ahead and warn you guys, this email's a little braggy. And he has every reason to be a little braggy, and that's not a dig at all. Listener Aaron said, so here's what happened. My friend Jesse and I went to the Glee Live last year at Radio City Music Hall.
Nice.
They're number one. We are both 15 and don't have jobs, so getting the money for these tickets was practically impossible, so we had to deal with seats that matched our budgets. I was still super pumped to go and see the cast on stage. Little did we know that I would meet the cast of Glee the very same day. We walk up to Radio City and hear screaming from around the corner, so we went to check it out. Limos were all lined up down the street. The first person we saw was Kevin McHale. We asked for a picture, and he said he wasn't supposed to, but he would anyway. In a state of fan euphoria, I blurted out, "I love your tattoo," which were the words, "Let it be," on his wrists. He said thanks and walked away to see other theater goers. My friend and I then met Heather Morris, Harry Chum Jr., and Dijon Talton before he transferred. The performance was outstanding, and to top it all off, walking out of the theater, we passed Rockefeller Plaza, where the live-action Smurfs movie was being filmed, and we caught sight of Neil Patrick Harris. So this is actually last year's tour. He sent pictures. It's pretty awesome. So congratulations for Aaron for getting in to see them on last year's tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a fun story.
Those are really good pictures,
yeah,
too.
Really good pictures. Totally, right?
Aw.
And listener Melanie also saw them. She starts off with, she went to the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. Ba-doom.
Yes.
It was a date swap with Boston due to Stanley Cup action. She actually had Stanley Cup action.
I know, game 7 tomorrow night.
Which is super cool.
Kind of crazy.
The opening act, The League of Extraordinary Dancers, was lame, but very talented. We saw them last year. And,
It
was the same group, LXD, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the League of Extraordinary Dancers.
Got it.
Last year, I know that they didn't get, the stage was still closed. Like, it's still the curtain down in the background. So they didn't really get showcased.
They were just using the free space before they set up.
Yeah. But they do have, this is Harry. This is Harry Shum's show. And it's pretty, it's pretty unique. He has an internet series. You can find it on Hulu and Netflix, and it's pretty outstanding. So if you, and I don't actually like dance at all, but they have these incredible stories, and every episode has this really in-depth story, even though there's never any dialogue. It's just dance. So It's really worth checking out the LXD on the internet. But Melanie went on to say the show was awesome, start to finish. And high energy all the way through, all the songs you would expect, and an appearance by the Warblers. Darren Criss has more energy than any human should. So
he's just so darn cute.
And she went on to say everyone had self-made t-shirts. And that a lot of the girls had the t-shirts, you know, the black and white t-shirts. She said a lot of the girls somehow missed the irony of wearing likes boys t-shirts. I'm like, yeah, you didn't even watch the episode if you missed that.
Interesting.
Yeah. We now have a discussion of a discussion about the Canucks and in Vancouver in the forum or in the chat room. So I apologize for kicking that off. We all know where Jennifer lives.
Again, my apologies, typo A.
Hey, you never know where it's going to go.
No. Well, yeah, that's true. It's been a really Really tight series.
And we get a lot of emails about, there's a couple episodes that are harder to find. They should be on the website, but they come and go for some reason.
Episodes?
There's a couple of our episodes, like episodes 18 and such, that are a little harder to find. So I'm working it out. We're working it out. Trying to figure it out. And we'll nail that down. So yes, if you went to the Glee Tour, if you're continuing to go to the Glee Tour, I know some of our listeners are actually not in the chat room because they're at the Glee Tour. So that's exciting. Definitely, email us when you find out about that. You can do that at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Good Lord. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Glee Project. Jen and I watched the Glee Project. A lot of the other listeners watched the Glee Project. Jennifer, how did you feel about the Glee Project?
I actually thought it was a lot of fun. I like that they just kind of jumped right into it. They didn't. I didn't watch the pre-audition special or anything like that. But I like that they jumped right into it. I really enjoyed seeing the actual staff who work on the show.
Yeah,
work
in this. The actual choreographer, the actual vocal coach,
yep.
And the actual casting director are the three kind of like officials of the show.
Yeah, and it's funny, like you'll recognize their names right away, so it's nice to see their face. But I thought it was really cool to, in the same respect, get much more insight into how they produce each episode of Glee.
Yeah.
You know, and the vocal coach is saying, hey, listen, you've got to get this right, you know. Even Lea Michele has to learn, you know, do a song in an hour. You know, she has to lock it down and get it all perfect. So, you know, these are the types of, you know, constraints we work within. So you need to be able to step up and do that. And they're very blunt. You know, they're very honest with them. They don't sugarcoat it. They tell people when they're not singing well, when they're not being good sports or following direction very well. If they're not, you know, energetic, or if they're hiding their personality. So in that respect, I thought it was really actually pretty good. I mean, especially after I loved American Idol this season, but because there wasn't a lot of critique or valuable critique,
yeah.
It was nice to see people actually getting direction. And of course, Darren Criss was in it, and he was adorable.
Yeah, you know, to see the choreographer, the casting director, whose names I'll remember. I just remember Zach's name because it's Zach Woodley, and that's, you know, catchy. But yeah, you know, to see those people actually in the show was like, wow, they're really taking this seriously. This is not just a way to kill time during the summer. This isn't something that the show was like, that this isn't something that the producers of Glee said, hey, you guys go do that and then let us know how it turns out. You know, they're actually involved. I mean, Ryan Murphy coming in every week to make the decision on who goes home is pretty significant to see him walk in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to see Darren Criss go in. I mean, when they said, hey, a member of the Glee cast is going to be here each week, I'm thinking like, oh, Brad is going to show up. Or, you know, like I didn't expect someone like Ryan Murphy or Darren Criss to actually be on the Glee Project. So, you know, that added a real vote of confidence and actually makes me feel like, wow, whoever does win the show is actually going to be a part of Glee. Mm. It's not
isn't that the prize?
Yeah.
Well, that is the prize. Mm. But, you know, there's ways to bury these things. And like when they did You're the One That I Want. When they did You're the One That I Want, where the winners got to be in a production of Grease, it was kind of like, yeah, but Grease is not a new show. It's been around forever.
Right.
Like, you know, they did, you know, who knows how long they were actually in the run. It felt a little false.
7-episode story arc.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of episodes, but you could still bury a character for 7 episodes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they kind of did it to Charisse and... even Cord to an extent this season. But yeah, I mean, like having Ryan Murphy kick off the show and say, you know, it early on, he recognized that, you know, someday these kids are going to graduate, so we're going to need to keep filling, you know, the classroom. So I thought it was really great. Yeah, I mean, it would be good to see them have a pretty significant role. And I wonder as each week we get closer to the end and who the finalist is, if the... you know, the caliber of the Glee castmate will kind of step up a little.
Well, was anyone, like, eliminated? Like,
yes.
Yeah, so the way the episode goes is each week they get an assignment.
A homework assignment.
A homework assignment, which they don't really go home to do. They kind of just go into another room for 20 minutes and then come back. But they're given a homework assignment. And this week, the homework assignment, I believe it appears the homework assignment is going to be a song. But maybe later.
Or like a theme. It might become more like what they do each week, you know, in Glee, when Mr. Shue's like, hey, this week's theme is this.
Yeah. Well, so they do that. I mean, they're really trying to ape the tone of Glee to the point where the opening music is total Glee music. Sorry. You know how like, oh, sit tight. And yes, you can look. You can actually watch this show on Hulu and on the Oxygen website. I know that Oxygen doesn't run in Canada, and
but
some of our
Hulu.
Yeah, so you might have to get a little creative. I mean, maybe Oxygen.com. It's at theglee project.oxygen.com. Maybe that will work in Canada, but or other countries. But it's worth a shot. But yeah, so each week, you know, what I was saying before is that they're really trying to ape the style and the tone of Glee to the extent that the opening announcer of the episode sounds almost exactly like the opening announcer to Glee, the one who goes, here's what you missed on Glee. Like, that's that guy. They totally got a guy who sounds like that to do the, you know, intro. And then the music, the kind of like da 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 da, the vocal music at the beginning of each episode is totally aped over. Yeah, the ba. So that's kind of funny. But the whole, I don't know, the visual style, they really tried to make it look like Glee. But so each week has a theme, just like Mr. Shue always has. Like, so this week we're talking about anthems. So this week the theme was individuality. And then they get a homework assignment where they have to learn a song. And this week it was Signed, Sealed, Delivered. And they're each assigned one verse or one section of the song to sing. And then a cast member of Glee comes in. This week it was Darren Criss. He walks in and he sees them perform this song. And it was kind of funny because there's 12 of them. And they stood up and sang about 6 words and then sat back down. Mm-hmm. And if your words are like, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, then you can cap that off with like a... not like that, but something good that vaguely resembles that. But if your words are like in the middle, then it's a little harder to do some kind of like... but... So then they performed, and Darren Criss was totally engaged.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he was shockingly engaged.
Yeah, he was really impressed. He was kind of like giddy watching them. He was really into it, and again, gave each of them pretty good feedback on what they need to focus on or what they need to continue to highlight. So it was a lot of fun. But he was just cracking up. He was having so much fun with them.
It was fun to see him there and kind of just chilling. You know, he seemed surprisingly cool. But so they perform for him. He awards someone the best, whoever's the best. Then they all do a big music video like they did Firework, which we listened to last week on the podcast. They perform Firework, and then whoever won this assignment gets a featured position in the song. And so the kid who won was Matthias, I don't know how to pronounce his name. And so he was kind of the featured one if you watch that Firework video with the stuff going on behind it. And yeah, it was surprisingly fun. They go ahead from there, and three of them are selected for the bottom three. And then from that bottom three, they're each assigned a song to sing. And Ryan Murphy comes out and listens to them all and decides who's going home, who they're not going to cast on the show. Yeah. They present the elimination in the craziest, like, most freaking insane way I've ever seen.
Like you would if you were auditioning for something in high school, and like they would if you were, you know, trying out for a sport in high school. They post the list of who makes it through. I mean, they single out at the bottom who doesn't make it through, but... I mean, that's the way we always had to do it.
And everyone who made it through had a gold star next to their name. Did you catch that?
I did.
So, yeah, they actually post a list that's like called back with all the names of the people that are called back, and then not called back with one person's name at the bottom. And then the way they shoot it is they shoot each kid walking up to it individually, and then they just like hold the camera on these kids. And it was just like heartbreaking. It was crazy.
Yeah, because there was some at one point... You see this look of shock on their face, and you're like, wait, did that person get through, or did that person go home? So it's pretty dramatic. But again, I mean, that's a theater thing. It, at least the way they did it in my high school.
Yeah, it seems fitting, but it was just like torture to watch.
Yeah.
So it was pretty wild. There was also a casting special, which Jennifer and I didn't watch, but is on our TiVo. We didn't get a chance to watch it, but they did a 1 hour casting special about all the auditions, which we have to, well, I think if you were in it, Ed, I think someone would have mentioned that. No.
Yeah,
offense.
I know. I obviously wasn't with me saying I was checking my email on Monday. I was like, baby, no. I was filmed. I was filmed.
Yes. Well, I'll send an angry letter. How's that?
No, don't even bother. It's fine.
Oh,
I'm not angry. I'm glad they even spent the time to film me, and I recorded the audio from it, and it's on the episode that I was like the Glee project with Ed or whatever.
So yeah, you can go back and check that out.
You can listen to the interview that never will be shown.
Oh, we still have Court Overstreet introducing the Gleeful podcast.
Yes, you do.
It was said the Gleeful project,
which is super cool.
I keep messing up Gleeful and Gleeful or Glee Project. I don't know why.
Typo just said, maybe you'll make the DVD extras, Ed.
Seriously?
Yeah, everyone's saying in the chat room that they were looking for Ed.
Aww.
That's pretty funny. That's cute, guys. So yeah, so it was fun. And so people are saying that apparently in the 1 hour casting special, which Jen and I didn't get a chance to watch, which is not on Hulu, by the way, they actually had Brad and that he talked. And that it ruined everything.
I don't want to hear his voice.
So we'll have to
watch
that.
I saw the clip of him, but I didn't see it. You know, it's so weird when you call me Jen. You've been calling me Jen today.
Did I just today?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Does it sound weird to you, Ed?
Maybe it's like a 32 thing.
Not really, because you're Josh and Jen.
I know.
But everyone else calls you Jen.
I know, but you never do.
Except for your coworkers that used to call you Jane. Oh, weird.
No, they call me Lane. Anyhow, sorry.
Well, Ed, your pick to win it all was Damien.
I saw that he was in the bottom. I'm reading the Wikipedia page now. I was like, what?
He was in the bottom three. That's correct. And he was in the bottom three with Ellis and Bryce. And we'll do a quick check on what everybody's favorites are, and I'll read some of the tweets we got. But Damien, it was funny because for the guy who's had more, like, real world success as a performer than anyone else on the show, he was by far the least confident. Like, he was less confident than like the kids that had never performed before.
Well, but maybe it's all an act, and well, I mean, obviously I'm not watching, but maybe he's like, so that way he could quote unquote grow throughout the show, and he's like, I'm just so much more confident on week three.
that is smart. Yeah, I know. I could totally. Ed's like Mr. Burns over there being like, excellent. This is my secret.
Well, I mean, I am a music reality show like enthusiast slash connoisseur. Like, I know
yes.
How to play the game, honey child.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You
it always helps to show growth, and if you're already gonna, you're at the top, it's better to backtrack a little bit and be like, look at me.
That's a very good point. There's no doubt. That's interesting. I wonder, like, as these, you know, as people have figured out the secret to these shows.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at, like, the LaToya Londons and the Melinda Doolittles, yeah, they made it far, but they didn't win. And you know why they didn't win? Because they didn't show growth. You know who showed growth? Fantasia. And Jordan Sparks.
Sorry, a little dig there. Had to fix my microphone. So Damien was in the bottom three.
Carrie Underwood
definitely showed a lot of growth. And now that we know them, Jennifer, we'll take a quick run through the contestants. And I'm curious to hear who's your favorite and who's your least favorite. Right now, I have to say my favorite, like, I actually like Lindsay. Because Lindsay is, like, straight up High School Musical, but she has a belting voice.
Yeah.
And there's something about her that, like, she's confident, but she's not obnoxious. Like, who's the, like, most likely to be a swimsuit model? Emily? Like, Emily's just obnoxious and, you know, trying so hard. And Lindsay was kind of more relaxed. Like, Marissa kind of wants to be a sex pot maybe someday when she finishes developing. But Lindsay was just kind of like, she was just sweet and nice and then belted. And I thought that was super cool.
She does have an incredible voice, and she has gorgeous blue eyes.
So she was actually kind of my like sleeper favorite for the episode. And then of course I have to like Cameron because he's the dork of the he's most likely the nerd. Yeah, he's the geek. So of course I have to have an affection for him. Jennifer, any early favorites?
Cameron. Yep, I fall for the geek every time. Can I say? He's adorable.
And anyone that you couldn't stand?
Ellis was really getting on my nerves. She really was.
Ellis is the one who's like, she's 18, but she looks 10.
Yeah.
She was like, she has potential to be something really special.
Right.
But she just kept coming back to like, I'm not 10. But then every joke she told was about how she was 10.
And she does this little baby doll voice.
It was creepy.
Creepy. So creepy. Even the choreographer was like, that's creepy. She's just really annoying. It's like, get over it. It's not my fault you look 10.
Yeah.
And trust me, in 20 years, you're going to be grateful you look 10.
I know. I kept saying, like, you're going to be hip when you're 35.
But when you got past that and she actually sang, because she had to sing, she was in the bottom three.
Right, yeah.
She had to perform again for Ryan Murphy. And when she did that, I was like, okay, I get it. You do have a very good voice. But just quit whining.
Yeah, exactly.
Put on your big girl pants and just stop whining.
Totally. I totally agree. I can't stand Alex.
Really? Why?
I can't freaking stand
him. Actually, I haven't seen enough of Alex to have an opinion either way.
It's just the kind of like, I don't know. It's there's a difference between like strength confidence and look at me confidence. And Alex, I get that look at me confidence. It's like, yes, we know you can hit crazy notes. Shut up. Like, I'm not interested in the big, you know, it just crosses a line to me. And I'm over the, like, look at me confidence of a person.
Okay.
So I didn't really like Alex at all. I found him to be a bit annoying. Other than that, I didn't really get a read from too many of the other ones, like, other than just first impressions from, like, Samuel really needs to eat a sandwich. And, you know, Mateus, like, he seems cool, but then when they put the camera on him, like, it kind of turned into like, you know, Dance Night at Babylon, and that was a little weird. But I mean, they're an interesting cast, and it'll be fun to see how they develop over the course of the season. Were you surprised by who went home, Jennifer?
A little bit, but yeah, it was just so interesting to just kind of be thrust into, you know, watching all these people compete. And again, not having seen any of the build-ups, because we're so used to, with American Idol, seeing, you know, these, at least most of the people for a certain amount of time. And this is just like, boom, they're a group, they know each other, and now they're competing.
That is interesting. They all knew each other from the auditions.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't really anybody, there weren't a lot of people that seemed to walk in and be like, I don't know who any of you are.
Right.
Yeah, well, I was a little surprised by Bryce just because he had the most unique voice of everyone. The guy who got eliminated had a very deep, he didn't have a wide vocal range, but it was a very unique vocal range. So I was kind of surprised they eliminated him, and they said they eliminated him because he was hard to work with, but I didn't think he was that hard to work with. I just thought he'd been told, like, you know, whatever, pick your persona on the show.
And express that.
And when he tried to do that, people were like,
You don't tell me.
Yeah, don't tell me how to do my job. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, he seemed to just be standing up for himself.
Yeah, and actually when he sang that song, and his concern with singing the Bruno Mars song was that it's in a much higher range than he sings because his voice is so deep. But I actually thought it was really pretty.
He missed a note, but for only having 20 minutes to prepare, I thought he did all right.
They got 2 hours.
Did they get 2 hours?
Yeah, it was 20 minutes on the TV.
Well, when you put it like that, I just assume that TV time is the way the universe works. That's not how it works.
You mean there isn't some montage of things and stuff just doesn't happen?
Dude, I don't know if you've seen me get up
in
the morning,
Ed,
but it is a montage, okay? I put on, like, first thing I do, I wake up in the morning and my alarm is Walking on Sunshine. And then I immediately, like, dance into my pants, and then it's awesome.
He goes for a
jog. Every day's a show.
And Michael J. Fox is running next to you.
I do. I'm always chased by a dog while I jog in the morning. I asked on Twitter what people thought of who their favorites and their early winners. Pippi Tanner, which I believe your name is Renee. I'm sorry, I'm going to get that wrong. She said she definitely likes Cameron and Ellis. She says the show seems like a good way to be excited about new characters. I definitely think whoever wins this show, we're going to pay closer attention to that character than somebody who just shows up.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's kind of what they want. Matt Chance said his favorite was the girl who looks 10. That's Ellis.
That's two for Ellis. I'm in the minority here.
Yeah. Eddie Love 123 says he wished they had more guys on the show. Alex seems to be taking the spotlights from the promos. He sees his favorite is Damien.
Wasn't the original cast six and six?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not disputing what Eddie said. I'm just saying that's what Eddie said.
I'm disputing. Oh, Ed, you faded out there for a second.
Uh-oh,
can you repeat that? Oh, that's better. What did you say before?
I was saying that it wasn't at 6 and 6. It was fair. It was even.
Yeah.
Although I'm still under the belief that the more semifinalists you have, the better finalists you have. So having just going immediately to top 12 just feels so, that's okay. It would have been better if it was 16.
Yeah, okay. I'm a big fan of 16 or 24 for your initial group. Even if you eliminate them quickly, it just feels like, I don't know, it just seems...
Well, it seems more like you're chosen. I'm sure there were people who were, who floated by as opposed to people who were chosen to make the next round. So I'd rather pluck than be I guess I have to take you because I have to take this amount of you.
Oh, got it.
Well, there's a different, Jennifer and I were big fans of Rockstar. Rockstar Supernova.
Rockstar NXS and Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah.
And on that show, they never showed you the auditions.
But
you were just
okay.
presented with this group. Well, it always bothered me because I kind of want to know where the people are coming from.
Well, lots of the people were industry connections.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Honestly, that's why they didn't do it.
Yeah, on the Glee project, a lot of them were industry, and half of them were from the MySpace auditions, which is a little
one was from Chicago. Literally one. Look at all you thousands of people. Good job.
Let's see. Evial said, unfortunately, we don't get Oxygen anymore. So she didn't have an opinion. Theater Girl 25, her favorites were Mateus and Cameron. I think Cameron's going to weigh larger as a favorite on a podcast. Podcasters, I think, are going to like the guy with glasses. I'm just saying. Let's see. Biddy Boo 12 said Cameron is her favorite. Typeaway says no Oxygen for Canadians. So, I had one more here. The Steph Set said she did watch it. It was awesome. And Samuel and Cameron up all the way. Hate Emily. So which one was Emily?
Emily. Flirty girl.
I think everyone's going to hate Emily. I think Emily wants to be hated. I think she's one of those people wants to be hated. Yeah,
I like Emily now. I don't even know the show, but I like her. I know. Nice.
So we are having some people in the chat room suggest what their Glee Club would be named. I don't think the three of us are going to be able to come up with any good ones because we're talking.
Some of these are genius.
Listener Molly says her Glee Club would be called the Treble Makers.
Nice.
Yeah. Wes Van King says his alma mater's Glee Club would be named the Singing Vikings.
Okay.
Typo A says they would be the Bare Naked Kilts or the Merry Melodies.
Nice. Oh, I like Merry Melodies.
I'm sorry.
I'm a big,
I think Molly killed
Warner Brothers
that
fans.
One. I think
yes.
So we'll have to think about that. Maybe we'll bring something up next week. Now, listener Melissa has emailed me a couple times, and she has pointed out that in the finale, we never discussed the Unholy Trinity. The scene with Santana, Brittany, and Quinn, which was actually the first scene we'd seen them do in a while.
How did the Unholy Trinity... Can you elaborate, please?
I'm sorry?
How is it the Unholy Trinity? They don't seem like...
That's what listener Melissa called them.
I think because they were the original cheerleaders from Hell.
Yeah.
They were Sue's henchmen.
Totally.
Whatever. I like them then.
I miss Evil Quinn.
I think we all do. I think we all miss Evil Quinn.
I still like, you know, her showing her sensitive side, but, you know.
Evil Quinn with a sensitive side? How's that?
So but she says sorry before she kills you.
It's a little, I don't really know what to say about that scene, but Melissa has asked and I want to answer. But it was fun to see them together in the finale. It was fun to actually see them all together once more. And you know, it led to getting a haircut, which was by far the best haircut anyone ever got by their friends. So... which is usually not a good idea, kids, in real life. It usually doesn't go as well. So yeah. Well, that's about all I have for the Glee project. We will definitely see how it continues to develop, and we will continue to follow it on this show. But yeah, I think next week on the show, on the Gleeful podcast, we'll give our top 5 songs from season 2.
Or and, top 25, whatever.
Well, Ed's going to give top 25.
Jennifer and I went through a lot of things, as well, Josh
so,
knows.
But what we're going to do is we're going to post everybody's full list. So for Ed, it's going to be the top 25 on the website. But on the show next week, we're going to do our top 5 and we'll listen to the songs. Because we can't listen to all 25 songs.
Oh, well, I know that, but I could read really fast. Fine. but now I have to put everything in context. See, everything was in context that I was allowed to say all 25. I don't know. I guess I should just stand behind my top 5 and be happy with it.
Well, let's okay. Well, we can do top 10.
Oh yeah.
Or you can do top 10. Read off the top 10, and then we'll listen to the top 5.
You can still give your 20 runners up.
All right.
I can just read them fast. It'll be okay.
Sounds good.
You don't have to listen to any of mine. That's fine. There you
go. No. We'll listen to the top 5 because I think it'll be fun.
Won't our top 5 be like? Won't our top 5 have similar? Like, I would be surprised if they're not similar.
If there isn't a lot of overlap, yeah.
Touche. Well, we will discuss this in the ops in the week to come. How's that? we'll figure this out. But that's the reason I mention it is for the listeners. If you guys want to send us your top 5 songs of the season and why, you can email them to gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And we will have some permutation of that on the show next week to talk about. Did anybody catch this story about Quinn? Or I'm sorry, about Diana Agron wearing a Likes Girls t-shirt on the tour?
No.
Nobody saw this? I just saw a picture of it, but I didn't see like why or what was going on there. I'm sure someone will mention it in the chat room, but yeah, I saw. Oh, it looks like typo. I already put it on her Twitter feed. So yeah, apparently she was wearing it, and people were like, "Oh, is Diana Agron coming out of the closet?" Because that's how you would do it. But
no, who did I just see that she's dating?
Everyone.
No, Ed. It was on. No, they didn't.
If you're blonde, under 25, and have abs, Diana Agron is dating you.
No,
I find that hard to believe. I don't really don't think she's like that ridiculous.
Well, okay, she's making the rounds. But yes,
yeah, she dated a guy for a while. They broke up. Now she's dating somebody else.
Alex Pettifor.
Whatever.
And she was
like, it's not like everybody, like Josh makes it sound like everyone, like everywhere. Like, no, that's not true.
I'm being judgmental.
She's probably a very wholesome, nice girl.
Touche.
Yeah.
I'm being a butthead.
Okay. So she's dating a guy who used to be on Gossip Girl.
According to the chat room, she said it was for support of Gay Pride Day. LGBTQ support.
Nice.
So, and she put it on her Tumblr. So that's very cool. But yeah, that's about all I have, guys, for this week. Jennifer, do you have anything else left for the Gleeful podcast?
No.
Ed, anything left for the Gleeful podcast?
Just iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews.
Go ahead.
Okay. And Glee Star Kid, Alex from Las Vegas, Romanoff 57, and Kristen Kranz. Thank you so much for reviewing us on iTunes. And if you haven't, consider doing it.
Yes, please. Definitely email or definitely review us on iTunes. Thank you for doing that.
Don't take that yawn as I was sad about.
It's like I'm so over the show.
No, Josh woke me up at like 6 p.m. I was like, what is going on?
It's hilarious. Yes.
Are you working tonight?
No, I am off for the next 2 days.
Nice.
Oh, good for you.
That's very nice.
Good for you.
If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is at www.gleefulpodcast.com, where you can find our other Glee-related stories, as well as the t-shirt, which you should buy.
Where we'll be posting pictures of ourselves wearing the
Where we will be posting pictures of ourselves wearing the t-shirt, so check that out. I've been doing these Music of Glee posts, which I hope people will like. I know Jennifer likes them.
I do.
Which is what keeps me going, quite frankly.
Aww.
And
not just because I'm your wife.
As long as other people are liking them, I've started going back to the beginning of the series and doing the Music of Glee on the beginning of the series. But if anybody has a better way or an idea for something other than just going back to the beginning, you can let me know. But they are fun articles. You can find them on our website, gleefulpodcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Weigh in and join the conversation there. And there, for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Shannon and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed, only jazz hands, peace out. I totally was caught off guard.
Old school Ed,
Old school, yeah.
I missed that one.